Hey, welcome back. I'm Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We are in Acts, and this is lesson one. We've been flying over the book of Acts. So try to get that big bird's eye view, kind of like when you first plug in your directions to Google Maps, and you're trying to figure out exactly where you're going. So instead of seeing every little turn, you just want to see that big picture. That's exactly what we've been doing with Acts. We're beginning in chapter 13 today, 13, 14, 15, 16. I'm going to go 13 through 16. I'm all counting four numbers. We're going to go from chapter 13 to 16 and just again, get that flyover of it. Amazing account historically of the early disciples, the early church, what they faced, what they went through, the persecution, and then the incredible resolve and faith that they have that's such an inspiration for us today in what we face also. So let's go ahead and open with prayer and we'll get started. Oh, by the way, before I do that, if this is your very first time joining us, yay, I'm so glad you're here. We've got a few other lessons. If you want to hop back and listen to the entire series, lessons one through four, today is lesson five, and I'm really glad you're here. And if you are returning with us, I'm really glad you're here as well. So make sure you stop and say hi, drop a comment in there and hit that subscribe button and let us know you're with us. And that's it. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll get started. Father God, thank you once again for our time and your word today. It's powerful. It's life-changing. It reminds us of who you are and who we are as well. So be with us now as we enter into this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go for it. Let me switch screens. Those of you joining us over there on the podcast cannot see the screen, but I'm glad you're here as well. Open up your lesson to lesson one, day five. Make sure you write down Acts chapter 4 there in that top box. It goes like this. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So much goodness to unpack in that, just those simple words as well. So get that into your heart, in your mind, and the truth to hold on to and remember. There's no salvation unless it's through Jesus Christ. All right. Back over here to our lesson. And today we're going to be going from Acts 13, like I said, all the way through the end of Acts 16. Our tip for the day is to consider the impact of a location on how the people live, their jobs, their culture. So because we're reading right now in historical narrative in particular, it's going to be really important. And that's why sometimes I have you look up where people are, not just to, you know your map skills, like you're in fifth grade again or something like that, but to stay, oh, wow, that's a real desert region, or that's an island, or that's right up against the shore. It would and make some of those connections that, oh, if it was right against the shore, it might have been along a trade route. There would have been people from other cultures coming and going. So make note of that and start making those connections of how that might have influenced the types of people who live there, what their lives would have been like as well. As always, when we go through our scripture, our lessons together, we write the scripture. And this lesson one, we are writing a sermon from Peter, and it's from Acts chapter 2. So go to the end of this lesson and hand write out the next two verses there, verses 21 and 22 today. Go ahead and pause right now and do that, and then join us back. Hit that pause button and come on back when you're done writing. Don't forget to do that. It's such a feeling of accomplishment at the end of this lesson to have this huge portion of scripture handwritten out. So I want to encourage you to do that. Don't skip that today. If you kind of got behind, pause right now. Go back and write all the way from Acts chapter 2 through verse 22. I think we started, well, let me just see. I'll hop on down so you can see it. I want to encourage you to do this, so let's get it right. Verse 14. I was going to say 13, but anyway, 14 through 28. So go back to your lessons, get that done, and have that sense of accomplishment when you finished it all and have it all written. All right. And don't forget to take a picture every now and then. Let me know what you're doing. So today we're going to begin in Acts chapter 13. I've got that queued up and ready to go. And as always, we want to read through the questions, kind of know where we're going. And so this first one is, what spiritual disciplines are mentioned in Acts 13, 1 through 3? And then what did Barnabas and Paul, Saul, who's also called Paul, what do they do on Cyprus? So let's check it out and answer those questions. So now there were in the church at Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from, it's always like, how do I pronounce these? So every day you get used to that. Maybe you guys can help me out with it as well. I do the best that I can. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, maybe that's where we get the word salami from. Who knows? Maybe it came. I bet you it did. Salamis. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy." Wow, that's pretty harsh. "Full of deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of all this people Israel, the God of this people Israel chose your fathers." Oh my gosh. Okay, let's get the words right here, Jennifer. I'll try that again. "The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with uplifted arm he led them out of it. And for about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And then when they had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' Of this man's offspring, God had brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he, but behold, after me, one is coming, the sandals of whom feet I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him or understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.' Therefore, he says also in another psalm, 'You will not let your Holy One see corruption.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet again against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Wow. Big chapter there, chapter 13. Let's make sure we get some of the key ideas there. What are some of the spiritual disciplines mentioned in chapter 13, 1 through 3? I've highlighted them here on my screen for you. Well, they worshiped, they fasted, they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And then maybe even sending them off, making disciples would be the word for that. They commissioned them, really, maybe more. All right. So the next question is, what do Paul and Barnabas and Saul do on Cyprus? Let's go ahead and go back there. So on Cyprus, they end up confronting this guy here, Elymas the magician, and flat out call judgment down upon him and strike against him, basically. Not basically, literally. He causes him to become blind because, and this is just no soft words here, son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy. He says he's making crooked the straight paths of the Lord. This is not simple speech here. This is very strong, firm words from Saul or Paul against this magician guy. Notice as we keep reading, anything that comes to your mind that you're learning about who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, your spiritual life, the spiritual disciplines would fit under that category there. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at chapter 14. What Greek nicknames did Paul and Barnabas earn? Let's find out. All right, so chapter 14, now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers, so they remained there for a long time. They remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him, seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Laconian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without about witness, for he did good by giving you rains from the heaven and fruitful season, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. Wow. So, but the Jews, verse 19, continuing on here, but the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had reached, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations you must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared that all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they remained no little time with the disciples. Do you love the style of Luke's writing? I do. I find him very engaging, the way he keeps it all going and then adds these little asides and these personal notes. He's a really great writer. Good job, Paul, Luke, and your writing of this gospel, really. All right, so what Greek nicknames did Paul and Barnabas earn, and why? Well, Zeus, they called Barnabas, and Paul, they called him Hermes. Why? Because they thought they were the gods come down in human form. They were such effective, powerful, compelling communicators. All right, on to chapter 15. What agreement was made at the Jerusalem Council? Super fascinating time here, this first church council gathering. Chapter 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. After Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and order them to keep the law of Moses." That would have been really interesting if that ended up happening. Let's find out what does happen. Verse 6, the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed disciples that neither our fathers having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test? By placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take them from a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins. I will restore it that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled in blood and from blood. For the ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are in the who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. That was a long sentence. I kind of lost my breath doing it in one breath. All right. So since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idol and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Farewell. So they went. They were sent off. And they went to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were with themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. After they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained at Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp agreement, so that they departed from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Such real life, right? Such just real life here. I love it. This argument and the split. All right. So basically, what agreement was made at the Jerusalem Council? Well, the Jews were saying they should have to observe the laws of Moses, and Paul was saying to them, no, they don't. I mean, we can't even bear that burden. So as long as they do, and he laid out the minimum. So you don't strangle things to kill them. Don't drink blood. And then he said, what was the other one? Oh, sexual immorality and abstaining from that. And there was one other, what am I missing? Sacrifice to idols. Whatever's been sacrificed to an idol, blood, don't drink blood. And from what has been strangled. And then of course the sexual immorality. So basically he just brings it all down in terms of those types of laws. No, we're not going to get them circumcised. Just don't do this stuff because, well, we won't talk about it now because this is part of the next lesson. Part of the next lesson. All right. Chapter 16. Our questions to answer is, who's the new kid joining Paul, and who does Paul visit after being in jail? So we got someone joining him and he's going to jail. Let's find out more about it. Chapter 16. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy. Ding. There's your answer. The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. Listen, they had literally just said, you don't have to be circumcised, but now he goes ahead and Timothy was like, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man in Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to, Samothrace? Wow. Made a direct voyage to Samothrace. My goodness, I'm going to have to look that up later. I have no idea how to say it. No idea. All right, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept on doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us, as Romans do not accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore their garments off them and gave them orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet with the stocks. Wow. All right. So about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not arm yourself. We're all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and his family. And they brought him up to his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned. Men who are Roman citizens have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." Oh man, Paul's so bold. The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens, so they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. All right. Wow. So who's this new kid? Timothy joining Paul. And what is Paul? Who does Paul visit after being in jail? It says right here, he visits Lydia. All right. So we've got Lydia mentioned, I think, up here. Oh, I'm not going to be able to find it that quickly. Here's a quick trick on finding things, by the way. Just type it in Control F L Y D I A. And then we're going to go back up to the first time. There we go. The conversion of Lydia. So here we go. When you can't find something, just again, I just hit on my keyboard the Control F and it brings up a search and find feature. If you're looking for a certain name and you're like, "Where did I read that?" Then it kind of gets buried up there. Anyway, there you go. All right, folks, good job today. Great lesson. Wonderfully done. As always, I really enjoy being with you together in Bible study. And be here tomorrow. We're going to be back here at 9 a.m. tomorrow for another lesson. Make sure you tune in. If you haven't already subscribed, subscribe. Hit that subscribe button and share something. Also leave a comment. Let me know. It drives me crazy when you guys tell me later that you were listening to the lesson. I'm like, "You didn't even say anything. Come on." It would be like coming in, sitting down at this table here with me and joining together, and we're doing the Bible study, and you literally just sit there like this. And you don't say anything. You would never do that in person. So that's how we engage online. Since we can't really be there together face-to-face all the time, we're there online. So say hi. I'm saying hi to you right now. Thanking you for being here. You say hi to me and tell me something interesting you learned today and something you're excited about digging deeper into in this study. All right. Until we meet again, as always, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.